When we ask somebody, how are you? What do you think the most common response is that you've heard? Fine, good, all right. How much time have you got? I was looking for something else. I'm surprised I haven't heard it.
Busy.
Busy, yeah. Busy. Often it's busy. Why do we so often define our state of well-being as busy? It seems to be a badge of honour to proudly wear. Regardless of how a person is or feels, our Western society has long had an obsession with being busy. And there are no doubt a huge number of reasons for this. But being busy, overly busy, impacts on our well-being. When we're too busy, we have less time for our brains to process the growing amount of information we're expected to digest. When we're too busy, we have less time for our minds to make the growing number of decisions that we need to make in this day and age. We have less time for reflection, through which comes the ability to learn. And with busyness comes less time for relationships that provide so much meaning and purpose in our lives. It is no wonder that with increased busyness and the associated stress comes increased struggle with our thoughts and emotions, our mental health. And for centuries, the church has bought into this value of being busy. The Protestant work ethic is an example of this. The Protestant work ethic is a phrase used to describe the 16th century emphasis on working hard in order to display the sort of life that a Christian should live. The thinking was that being busy was actually an indicator that a person might be acceptable to God. And so the church pushed working hard and being busy as a way to give people hope that God might love and accept them. Now, this in itself should cause great concern for us because as the driver of that is fear. And that is so much at odds with Jesus' good news of God's love for all people. Now, I've struggled with this high value being placed on busyness my whole life. I want to do everything. I love being involved in stuff. I want to make a difference. I don't want to miss out. There are so many good things to do. And whilst there are some healthy parts to these desires, this morning I'm certainly speaking from a place of vulnerability too. I continue to, ironically, struggle and wrestle with this topic of busyness and self-care. Yeah, but hey, it's not like I have everything together in any other topic I speak about either. It seems like the church at large forgot God's character and actions as described in the Bible. I'll forever be grateful that this church sees life more how I think God sees it. Let's check it out. In the way the Jewish people told their creation stories, we see that God, yes, God loves work. God is active and productive, making a difference, perhaps even busy. But the end of Genesis chapter 1 and the start of chapter 2 say this: God looked at all of this creation and proclaimed that it was good, very good. Evening came and morning followed, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all their array were completed. On the seventh day, God had finished all the work of creation. And so on that seventh day, God rested. God blessed the seventh day and called it sacred, because on it God rested from all the work of creation. God rested. Wow. Not that God would have needed to. God is God. But God wants us to follow this example. God made us in such a way that we simply cannot function without rest. And so this is not about weakness. It's about us trusting God that we can pause from our partnership work of making all things new, so that we don't run ourselves into the ground. It also reminds us that work continues without us. It's not all about us. Central to Christian spirituality is that God became human. Jesus was fully God and fully human. And this means, among other things, that, well, Jesus became tired. Jesus needed rest. Jesus needed to be responsible with the call and purposes of God in his life. So we're going to hear some examples of what that looked like. So, Alison, do you want to kick us off? We're going to do some readings.
Mark chapter 1, verse 0, while I pray.
Stopping matters to God. Rest matters to God. It is God-like and godly for us to care for ourselves by stopping and resting. And these days we call this self-care. From these scriptures, it seems to me that self-care really matters to God. Resting and self-care are essential for our mental well-being. So what is self-care? Well, self-care is often simplified down to do what feels good or treat yourself. But those ideas aren't always in line with what self-care is really about. That's because sometimes it's easy to confuse self-care and self-soothing. Self-care leads us to feeling filled up, refreshed, or rejuvenated in some way. Self-care is taking care of ourselves not only for the right now, but for the future. Self-care helps us. Self-care keeps us going. It's doing things that help build resilience. Self-care involves forming habits which may not be comfortable in the moment, but there are long-term benefits for our mental health and well-being. And even if our self-care is doing something that is boring, like, you know, walking around the block or doing yoga or going to bed at a good time or renewing prescriptions, we can still feel a sense of accomplishment for doing something proactive to tend to our health. Doing these sorts of things is taking care of ourselves, even if it's not fun to put up on social media. Although that could be fun. It's a bit like me. Self-soothing, on the other hand, is more focused on feeling good right now. Self-soothing is about finding comfort or distraction from what's going on in the moment. Like if we're feeling, particularly if we're feeling stressed or anxious. There isn't anything wrong with self-soothing or wanting to feel good in the moment, but self-soothing isn't an exact replacement for self-care. Self-soothing gets you through the moment, whereas self-care is longer-term strategy-focused on helping us live faithful lives with the energy and gifts and opportunities that we have. So some self-soothing activities could be things like watching TV or eating food that makes us feel good or coffee or exercising or time with family and friends, shopping, cuddling up in a cozy blanket, listening to music, doing a mindfulness exercise, lots of different things to help us feel good in the moment. But self-care could include other things like, well, they can include things like exercise, picking up that repeat on the prescriptions, attending to physical health concerns, eating nourishing foods, staying hydrated, talking with a counsellor, making time for family and friends, setting up a budget, practicing mindfulness, going to bed at a good time. And sometimes the same actions can be self-soothing and sometimes can be self-care. The difference, I think, is the goal. Are we doing this to feel better right now? Or are we doing this to continue to contribute to feeling good in the future? Sometimes the things we do to soothe ourselves will make self-care harder, and that can be a bit of a problem. So if helping ourselves thrive long-term means setting a budget to follow, for example, but we soothe ourselves by shopping when we're upset, then we're going to end up with actions and values that clash a bit, don't they? So when we're struggling, the challenge and opportunity is to reach for what will help us feel better and make life, and not make life harder down the line. Sometimes we just need to cope however we can, especially in times of crisis, by stopping, resting, and helping ourselves feel better, by self-soothing. And once we're through that crisis, we can have the mental and physical, a renewed sense of mental and physical resources to deal with what's going on. We can step back and make more room again for self-care. I love the 17th verse in Exodus chapter 31. I hadn't quite appreciated it until this week. Here it is, in three different translations, a retelling of the creation stories. Here we go. Oh, not that one. On the seventh day, I rested and paused for breath. On the seventh day, I rested and relaxed. On the seventh day, I rested and was refreshed. It's pretty cool that God describes self like that, eh? The fruit or evidence of self-care is feeling more rested. The fruit or evidence of self-care is feeling more rested. Now, I found that sentence quite hard to write, and I'm not sure I can often say that. And it can be hard to measure. It can be hard to achieve the evidence being feeling more rested. But I take comfort in Jesus. One of the earlier readings spoke of his attempt at self-care, which was thwarted by people somewhat understandably being more concerned with their own needs than the needs of Jesus. So here he is, trying to take a break from the demanding crowds, slow-learning disciples, and the conflict with the religious "we're right" brigade, when they find him in his getaway space. So instead of getting grumpy or falling asleep from exhaustion or informing the people he needed a break and to come back the next day, we're told that Jesus had compassion. And I wonder if, for those of us who might be in situations where it's really hard to get a break, perhaps we're often interrupted when trying to pull away for some self-soothing or self-care. Perhaps this is an invitation to take heart from Jesus. This happened to him heaps. At times he showed impatience, followed by mercy. At other times we're told he had compassion on the people. And perhaps having compassion can apply for those of us who really struggle to pause, rest, and be re-energized. Having compassion for others and ourselves is respecting how we're all divine image bearers. And perhaps compassion leads us to reflect on the ways that we have already learnt and grown in this topic as we've progressed through life. A wise man reminded me this week that a 1% improvement in self-care each year leads to exponential growth. That was Jacob. But I think it's so true. I can easily beat up on myself about how I'm not doing a lot of this stuff well, but then I think back a few years and I think, oh, actually, I'm doing some things a whole lot better. So, you can have compassion. If our lives are like a full bathtub, we can think of water exiting out the plug hole as the things that drain us. I wonder what that is for you. conflict perhaps, or parenting, health concerns, workplace stress, family issues, marriage, financial struggles. What are two or three things that you find draining? Self-care is about putting water back into our bathtub lives. It's about filling it up again. The self-care or water going into the bathtub is about filling us, nourishing us, energizing us, restoring us, building resilience, rejuvenating us, and helping us feel more rested. So we're going to have some time now to turn into little groups and to talk with people around you. And I invite you to take turns sharing on two simple little questions. What is a self-care practice you currently do? And what is a self-care practice you would like to build into your life? So, yeah, we're just going to take a few minutes just to maybe, yeah, find a group. You can do it with people you came with or ones you didn't come with. Feel free to cross the room. And then at the end, it'd be really neat to just pass the mic around and just maybe just one or two ideas from each of the groups. Great. So, yeah, let's go. Okay, we're ready to pull that back. Hey, so it'd be really interesting to hear what's one or two things that stood out in your group? Hey, Ezra, you want to pass it along? Pass it there to Val in Val's group. Oh, that's not Val. Sorry, I had pointed him to that group first.
While it's fresh in my mind, and I think we all actually realise that it depends on our circumstances.
Mm.
We've got people. Eric is on his own, so people's circumstances differ.
Yeah.
But for me, my self-care is downtime. And when I was working, this is going to sound awful, but when I was working, I would drive down the hill. If I saw Alan's car there, I would keep going. Because I need... I know, but it's true. I needed half an hour of de-stress and self-care before I walked in the door and tackled anything that was going on there.
Israel, yep, front group. Anyone there? Anything stood up to you guys?
Right.
Just one little thing that was stood out from that group?
Now I've got this electric guitar, it's quite good. I can put my headphones on and plug into the amp, because it runs through the headphones, and then chill out, just cut all the noise out around us, all the noisy three girls, and just strum away there and sound awful to myself or to them. But yeah, so that's one way of chilling out.
Yeah.
Me anyway.
Just great.
Self-care, you know.
Cool.
Tuning off anyway. Tuning off from the outside stress. And yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Roy. Okay, how about this group? And someone from the group at the back there? Pass along to someone.
Heather goes therapy for
Cool. Yep. It's different things that we do. Yeah, thanks, Erin.
Giving yourself permission to read a book.
Yeah.
Like you can stop doing what you're doing. Yeah.
Sometimes it's giving that permission, eh? Or like blocking something out on a diary and saying, actually, this is, yeah. Yeah, cool. A couple of groups over here. So maybe the group at the back or front. You got anything you want to say, anyone? One little thing?
Leaving work at work.
Yeah, leaving the work at work. Yeah. Mm. Anyone else? Oh, John. Yep. Here we go. You guys have anything there at the front? Want to say?
It's very biblical. I now know that the key to relaxation, as Jesus' example, was to have access to a boat. just saying.
It's biblical. It's very Christ-like. Okay, cool. Anyone else? So there's quite a wide variety right there, isn't it? Hey, so I'm gonna pop a little track on for us to listen to and engage with. And while that's happening, what I'd invite you to do is to come and take one of these coloured cups and fill it with water from the jug. And then as a symbol of your own reflections and perhaps of your decision of what self-cares you'd like to build into your life, imagine the bath as your life and then slowly fill it with your water. So maybe there's something that you want to get back to that you know has been really good for you at the moment, or maybe there's something that you particularly need at this moment in time. Just as a symbol of that thought and reflection to, yeah, pour a cup of water and tip it into the life bath here. Also, during this time, if you have something you'd like to pop in the offering, there's offering bags at the back two tables there as well that you could pop that in there. Great. Thanks.